We are in the middle, if you will, or in the first third of our year-long series called Quest 52. It is a year-long pursuit of Jesus, and we are in chapter 16 of our book. If you want to go online and order a book so that you can keep up and keep track of what we're doing, you're sure more than welcome to do that. If you're not sure how to do that and would like a book, just let me know. They're about $12, $13 a piece. We can order one for you, probably. Excuse me. One of the we're in a series or in a section of the book where we're talking about the power of Jesus. A while ago, we were looking at the person of Jesus. Now we're talking about his power. And one of the things that Jesus does is provision. He provides for us. Now, providing for the needs of other people is difficult, and it can be very exhausting. It's time-consuming. Sometimes it depletes our resources. It depletes our energy. The ones that you are providing for don't even need to be special needs people, okay, in order for us to feel exhausted. I don't know how many times I have spoken with a young mom or a young dad, and they're just kind of in a fog or in a haze, and when you ask how are things going, they say, well, I'm not really quite sure, I'm just so exhausted. This is very true, because you're providing for a lot of needs for that newborn child. Just providing the basic needs, even for ourselves, sometimes can be exhausting. You know, we have our own physical, emotional, mental, spiritual needs, and providing for them, some days at the end of the day, we just don't have anything left. You know, we're just exhausted. We just don't have any more resources. And during those days, we just simply say, boy, I could use a vacation. I just need a little bit of R&R. I just need to re-energize. I need to refocus. I just need some me time. Have you ever said something like that? I think most of us have. Of course, believers in Christ know that God has the power to provide us with everything that we need. We have those promises of God, like Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And it's true. If it wasn't true, it couldn't be in Scripture. But not only does God supply our needs, but Scripture says God supplies strength. He provides purification of sin. He provides us with a way out of temptation. Scripture also reminds us that he provides us with hope. Acts chapter 14, verse 17 also tells us that he provides us with every physical thing that we could possibly need. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. This is the kind of a God that we have. This is the power that he has, and his provisions never run out. Now, I'm saying all of this to you, and some of you are going, okay, I get it. It's in the Bible. I understand that God made these promises, but boy, there are some days when I just do not feel provided for. I understand that. I understand that life can look like an impossibility, and nothing probably describes that reality more than the story that we're going to be looking at, the parable or the event actually that happened in Jesus' life. It's actually located in the book of Mark chapter 6. We know it as the feeding of the 5,000. It's probably a story that you have read, an event in Jesus' life, but let me just set the stage a little bit before we get into the actual text. But in the meantime, if you want to turn to Mark chapter 6 verse 31, then you'll be ready for when we're ready to read that. Jesus' disciples have been sent off on their first solo missionary trip, if you will, their ministry tour, and they are returning with all kinds of excitement. They are returning with news about how they have cast out demons and how they have been able to preach the gospel and the truth has set people free, and they are excited. Jesus has also been ministering during this time, but they also brought Jesus some sad news. His relative, John the Baptist, had just been beheaded, and they had finally gotten that news. And so there was some grief, and there was some some anxiety there. Now, Jesus has been involved in ministry, and so he's a bit depleted. And so together, Jesus and the disciples figure out that they need some R&R. They are exhausted. They have been providing ministry, and they have been providing all kinds of things. And then they have this devastating news of John the Baptizer's death, and they need some time away. They need some me time. And so Jesus tells them to get into a boat, and let's sail to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's go to the west side. Now, the west side, we've already talked about, the west side is kind of a pagan land. It's not filled with Jews. It's filled with Gentiles. But that's where they go because they want to escape a little bit. The problem is that some of the people hear that Jesus is going, and so they follow him around the lake. And when Jesus and his disciples get to the shore on the other side, expecting a little bit of rest, they find a large crowd. Now, the Bible says that Jesus fed 5,000 men, but that doesn't count the women and children, so let's just assume between 15 and 20,000 people. That's not generally the place that you would go for R&R. But that's where Jesus finds himself. Please turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 31, as we take a look at this passage of Scripture. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And then Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five loaves and two fish." And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now, this passage of Scripture, this event, also appears in Matthew and Luke and John. It is one of not very many events and miracles of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels. So this had to have had some kind of an effect on all of the disciples of Jesus. But I want you to see what happened to provide for the needs of the people as Jesus did. And some of them are going to be very obvious, but some of them you might not realize. But when Jesus and his disciples get to that side of the Sea of Galilee and they see this huge crowd, what is the first thing that Jesus does? I imagine if I was one of the disciples, the first thing that I would do would be going, "Lord, we just want to get away from all of these people. You know, we have been ministering, things have been going good, and now we are here for some rest. That's why we got in this boat, was so that we could rest, and there are 20,000 people here waiting." And what does Jesus do? It says he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. You see, too many times we see people as a burden. We see people and their needs as something that we really don't want to participate in because I need my me time. I'm exhausted. I've had too many ministry things going on. I've had too many things that have depleted me, and I have to have my rest. And I know that there are counselors out there that will say, yeah, that's true. You do need to rest. And I'm not discounting that. But sometimes things happen in life, and you don't get a chance to rest. And Jesus saw them. And I think that's important because instead of just looking at them from a distance and kind of slapping his forehead, Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes that's exactly how we need to see people. Instead of as another burden that we have to, you know, do something with, we need to look for those opportunities to see people as they really are, lost, floundering. And I know that there are high-maintenance people out there. I know that firsthand. I know that there are people who are continually calling and saying, I have this need, I have that need, I have the other need, and I know that some people can be exhausting. But sometimes we need to look at them as Jesus sees them. You see, human nature is quite self-centered, and especially when we are tired, but Jesus saw them as they really were. They weren't a burden, they weren't an inconvenience, they weren't a problem, they weren't something just taking up our time, but they were lost. The second thing that this scripture says Jesus saw and did to provide for them was he provided compassion for them. He loved on them. The Bible is very clear that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. And this is an age-old phrase. You've all heard this. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And it's true. If you want to win somebody to Christ, oftentimes they want to know, well, do you care about me? Do you have compassion on me? Or am I just another number, just something to check off your list? Well, I talked to this person about Christ. I don't love them, but, you know, I have to meet my quota. When others feel that you really care for them, they feel valued. Of course, love risks being rejected, and that is going to happen from time to time. You are going to expend love on other people because you want them to know Jesus Christ, and they are going to reject that. That's a given. That's one of the risks that happens when you love. But when people come to you believing that you can help them with their spiritual need, we need to be there for them, not out of a sense of duty or responsibility, but out of a sense of love. When Jesus saw the people and said, you are like sheep without a shepherd, he did it out of love, not out of responsibility or duty. When you have those opportunities to tell somebody about Christ, is it because you're trying to fulfill an obligation or participate in a program at church, or because you really have compassion? The third thing that Jesus did when he provided for the people was he taught them. We haven't even gotten to the fish and the bread part yet. He saw them, he loved them, and he taught them. Verse 34. Why do you think the people followed Jesus around the lake? We already know that Jesus had sent out the 12, that they had gone into the area, that they had great opportunities to tell others about Jesus, but they wanted to hear it from the Word of God. And so the people from all of the towns came because they knew Jesus was sailing around. I can almost visualize this. Jesus is trying to cut across on the water. They're going from town to town all the way around the top of the lake, and they get there before him. They had to have been running because this distance is going to be way longer than this distance. And people kept gathering. What are you rushing to? We want to see Jesus. We want to hear him. And when they get there, they're not disappointed because Jesus teaches them. And he taught the people. And he didn't just give them a few little teachings, but he taught them late into the night. When it was getting late, then the fourth thing happened. He healed. Now, in Matthew's version of this story, Matthew mentions that the people came to him in their brokenness. They were seeking wholeness, and Jesus provided it for them. In this very broken world, Jesus is still doing the same thing. He is healing people. He is bringing wholeness to them. They bring their brokenness to him, and he mends that. Not just physical or emotional or mental, but spiritual as well. If a broken world cannot find healing in the church, where is it going to find healing? Too many times we view the church as a country club, a social gathering, a place where all of our friends come and we love to hang out. What if we viewed the church as a hospital where people come with their bleeding hearts and their broken lives? Because they know that they're going to find compassion here. They know that they're going to find healing in Jesus here. That's what the church is supposed to be about. That's what Jesus was all about. He saw them. He had compassion on them. He taught them. He healed them. And then the Bible says, he fed them. He fed them. Now, there are differences in each of the accounts. In the account of Mark, Jesus just simply says, you give them something to eat, and they say, well, we can't because we don't have enough money. It'd take, three quarters of a year's worth of wages to buy enough for all of these people. I can imagine Judas pulling out the money bag, looking in there at all the coins, going, this isn't going to happen. But it was Philip and Andrew that actually were the ones that are spoken of. Philip is calculating how much it would take and to give everyone even a bite when Jesus says, you feed them. And then Andrew is the optimist. maybe 20,000 people. Somehow, Philip finds a boy with a sack lunch. And he brings this boy to Jesus, and this lad has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think Andrew probably sort of second-guessed himself after he brought this lad up to Jesus and said, we found some food! Yeah, okay, we're going to feed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I imagine Andrew going, why did I do that? That was so stupid. I mean, that was just dumb. What can this little lunch possibly do? And we tend to do that sometimes. We have this thought process that we just have so little to offer. And the need is so great. And sometimes we pause. And sometimes we don't see how God could possibly use what little we have. Sometimes we even rationalize things in our own life. We say, I know God wants me to forgive, but it is just too expansive. I have too many sins, and I have been sinned against too many times. I can't possibly forgive. Or God cares for my every need, but man, do I have a lot of needs. I have physical needs and emotional needs and mental needs and spiritual needs. God can't possibly do that. I don't bring enough to the table. Or maybe God really does expect me to die to myself so that I can live for him, but I like living for myself. I don't know that I can give that up. Was the lunch too small for the task? Not in the hands of Jesus. Not in the hands of Jesus. It always reminds me of that story. I've probably told this story because I really like it. There was a beachcomber who was walking along the beach, and he saw early in the morning, he was strolling on the sand, and he noticed millions of starfish that had washed on the shore. And then he saw a little child picking them up one or two at a time, tossing them back in the ocean. And the adult came up to the little boy and said, "Why are you doing this? There are so many starfish, you can't possibly help them all. What good are you going to be able to do for any of these starfish?" And tossing another one into the ocean, the boy said, "Well, I made a difference for that one." You see, the need of this world for Jesus Christ is tremendous. There are 9 billion people in this world. And when we think about the expansiveness of how many people need to come to Christ, a lot of people might say, "I don't have anything to offer. What I have to give is like 5 loaves and 2 fish. We can't possibly feed 20,000 people on that. I can't possibly bring the gospel to 9 billion people, but I can bring the gospel to one. And so can all of you." And Jesus does an amazing thing when he feeds the people. Jesus does the same with every small effort that we bring him. He took what was there, he blessed it, he prayed over it, and he gave it to the disciples so they could distribute the food. And they did, and there were 12 baskets of food that were brought back. There was leftovers. Oftentimes we think about the grace of God and how he lavishes his love on us. The Bible verse, the Bible words when it talks about lavish is it fills the cup until it overflows. Try it sometime. Take a water glass, put it on your counter, fill it until it overflows. You have water everywhere. That's what God's love and God's grace is. He wants to love through us so much that it goes everywhere. 5 loaves and 2 fish not only satisfied all of the people that were available to eat the food, but it also provided extra. You see, this miracle is so impactful that it does appear in all 4 Gospels, and it reminds us that Jesus provides for all of our needs. Even in his exhaustion, even in his tiredness, even when the disciples were tired, even when Jesus needed rest and relaxation, when he needed time to re-energize, if there was the need ahead of him, he met that need and he taught us how. You see them. You love on them. You make sure that you offer them healing and help and hope. And you feed them. Maybe it's physical food, but Jesus had all kinds of spiritual food for them as well. I think it's kind of an interesting thing that this story also kind of describes what happened in Genesis chapter 1. Because it talks about God creating everything out of nothing. Isn't that what Jesus did? He created everything for everybody, literally out of nothing. When the disciples then cross back over the lake at night after the people have been fed and they have been taught and they have been ministered to and they have been healed and they have been brought into a wholeness with Jesus Christ, the disciples get back into the boat and late at night they cross over, and we're not going to talk about this part of the story, but if you keep reading through chapter 6 of the book of Mark, you see that Jesus is going to walk on the water to them. And he tells them, "Don't be afraid. I can still provide for you." This demonstrates Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep and over the chaos. Jesus hovers over the chaos of the storms that his disciples faced. My friends, Jesus' provision is incredible. Jesus provides as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus can provide all of our needs. We just need to trust him. We just need to know that he is always there for us. If he can handle all of the needs of these people who were needing spiritual teaching, guidance, wholeness, and physical food, if he could handle the storms that the disciples were going through, if he could provide so many things for so many people, surely he can provide for us. We just need to trust him. We just need to believe.